Why don't we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've been reading this, but I thought, you know what, let's read this together. Like I said last week, it could be one of the most beautiful poems ever written. So 1 Corinthians, if you don't have a Bible, there's some on the shelf over there in the corner. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 4 and to a little part of verse 8. Okay, you guys there? Ready? Love is patient, love is kind. Okay, ready? Well, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your words, Lord God. And we, Lord, come humbly to you once again, God. And we know, Lord, that we ought to love, God. We know that we ought to love you with everything that we have. Lord, we ought to love our neighbors, God, even as we love ourselves, Lord. And yet we find ourselves in difficulty, God, sometimes knowing how to love, God. Really being able to express that love to even people that we care about. Lord, we are dysfunctional. And so we ask, God, that you would come and you just bring revelation. Lord, we ask right now that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and our heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. We just want to bless you today, God. Bless your word. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you fix my mic a little bit? I sound better than this, okay? Loving to serve. Now, this is the title of my message. We've been talking this whole time of, you know, basically the whole... The gist is how do we love, right? And we're probably going to be spending most of the year dealing with this. And I was going to do two topics today, but I decided just to do the one because I just want to just give you one thought, just leave with one thought instead of multiple thoughts. And so we're talking about service, obviously, here. You know, the last few, if you guys remember, what was the first one? Words of affirmation. We're talking about love language. In other words, how can I express love to someone in the best way that they can receive it? You know, and hopefully during this time, you've been able to recognize, you know, what exactly is the language of love for you, how you receive love. Actually, for me, for the longest time, I thought my love language was physical touch. You know, I like it when Lisa, you know, just kind of runs her hand through my hair, you know, or just kind of pats me on the back or rubs my arm, and I just feel love. But then after studying this more, I realized that that's not my love language. It's actually this one, acts of service, you know, and so I'm kind of learning it as we go along as well. And so the first one is words of affirmation, right? And when someone says, good job, or I love you, or you're great, or, you know, you're just a blessing to me, or something like that, and we just feel so loved by that. How many guys are words of affirmation people, you think? Right? There's a few, right? I mean, okay, this is actually a good exercise for a church. You guys are the words, and you know that you're words of affirmation. Raise your hand really high in the air. Okay? Yeah, we're talking about receiving. This is how you receive love. Now, you see all these people around here, right? What would be the best way to love them? Would it be to buy them something? Yeah, say, Will, you're awesome, man. Right? Dude, you play the drums like a man today. And so that is love. You know, I mean, I know that sounded cheesy, I'm sorry. But that is love, right? Because that's Will's love language. And many of you, Jeremiah, Nate, and, you know, all these guys, and Marsha. And so if you want to know, well, how can I love them? It's words of affirmation. Don't be fake, obviously, right? But it's because you really enjoy something about them and you're able to point it out and really speak to them, minister to them. That's words of affirmation. The other one that we talk about, right, is quality time. How many of you guys are quality time people? That you know, this is how you receive love, quality time. Right? Now, look very carefully, you know, at these people, right? Look at all the quality time people. How can you best express love to Ken? Ken is a quality time. How can you best express love to Ken? Say, Ken, you're an awesome basketball player, right? That's not going to do much, right? You know, or maybe it will do a lot, right? But it's just spending time with Ken. Right? Good quality time. And, you know, actually, you can really tell that's Ken's because Ken's always hanging out. Have you noticed that? Like, no matter what's happening, he's always there. He's the one kind of, you know, mainstay of every activity at church. So it's like quality time, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? And stuff. And so these quality time people, the best way you can express yourself or express love to them is by spending time with them. You know, and it's, you know, not watching the TV together, you know, or sometimes watching a movie together if you discuss afterwards and those things could qualify. But it's this unadulterated time, right, that there's no other obstacle in the way, right? Now, the other love language we talked about last week was receiving gifts. How many of you guys are gifts people, right? Jimmy, Jay, anyone else? Only a few, right? Well, we're talking about, I should say primary love language, right? And so, Jimmy, Jay, is anyone else? How many of you guys are like, you really feel like you're loved when you receive a gift? It's only a couple people? Okay, well, you know, so Jimmy, you know, how would you express love to Jimmy? You know, would it be by spending time with him? I mean, that's nice, right? You know, is it saying, wow, Jimmy, you're great. You're a great guy, you know, kind of thing? Well, that's nice, too. Everyone likes encouragement. But the best way that Jimmy would receive love is if you bought him something. I mean, or you would give him, like we talked about last week, the gift of presence when he's going through a difficult time, right? And if you do that with Jimmy compared to all the other stuff, that would be like, whoa, I feel loved, you know? And we get to that point. The one I'm talking about today, right, is acts of service. And this is the fourth love language, you know, that... is a way, and I'm going to define in a second, but I want you to do this. I want you to turn to your neighbor, right? Say, hey, good looking. Right? Now, to the words of affirmation people, that was like, woo. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, give me some more, right? But to others, it was like, whatever, yeah, no big deal. What if that was primary? But neighbor say, hey, good looking. And just ask them, what was your most meaningful thing that everyone has ever done for you? Like, what's the most meaningful thing someone has ever served you or something? All right, so just we can, I give you a little time to chat, get to know each other. Right? Last time we asked, what was the most meaningful gift you ever received? Now, what's the most meaningful thing, an act of service that someone has ever done to you? And just share with each other. What was the most meaningful act of service that someone has ever done for you? Okay, anyone got a good one? Anyone got a good one? What's a good... Anyone? Who heard a good one? Come on. No one? Will? You got a good one? Say it loud, okay? It's okay. Private the better, right? Sharing is caring. Oh, that's nice, right? A friend emptied their bank account and gave it to Will, right? That would kind of be bordering on gifts as well, right? And stuff. But that's kind of a nice thing. Anyone, how about on this side? You guys hear a good one? So an act of service that someone did for you? Anyone? No one? Nate, you got one?
It's kind of borderline good.
It's okay. That sounds good.
When I was traveling around Europe, I didn't have any money. So the one that I traveled with, he paid for everything. Like, he volunteered, he offered to pay for everything. So we're going to catch
him out. Oh, that's nice. It's like your sugar daddy, right? That's very nice. Right? That's good, right? It's an act of service. Let me define what an act of service is. An act of service, right, or acts of service are doing things you know your object of affection would like you to do, right? The object of affection is meaning that person, right? is doing things you know that that person would like you to do, right? You seek to please that person by serving him or her, right? You express your love to that person by doing things for him or her. That is an act of service, right? It requires thought. It requires planning. It requires time. It requires effort and energy, right? And if done with a positive spirit, right, done with the right attitude, right, they are expressions of love. You know, very common, especially like in a marriage relationship. You know, and of course you can draw this in all different relationships, but it's, you know, acts as cooking a meal, you know, or washing the dishes, you know, or setting the table, you know, or vacuuming. You know, obviously we're kind of streaming on one line, which is kind of domestic, you know, kind of things. But it also could be babysitting, you know, or helping, you know, a person out to finish a project, or, getting soup for someone that's sick, you know, and bring it over to the house. Those are all acts of service, you know, and these are all things that we do that we know that would please the other person. And the key there is that this is something that they would want themselves, right? Obviously, you know, you don't want to, do something that, you know, the other person doesn't really want done, right? That's really not all that significant, right? But for it to be a real expression of love, right, means that it's an act, you know, that you know that would please the other person. And the other person would really enjoy, you know, if that's done. The reason why, you know, for me, I came to understand, you know, is that if, you know, I've said this many times before, but, you know, as a husband, if Lisa, you know, cooks a meal for me, I don't care what it is, right? It could be ramen, right, which I love, right? It could be, you know, a steak. Really doesn't matter what it is, but if she cooks it, And if she puts it in front of me and sets it in front of me, I feel really loved, you know. And it's part of the act of service. Now, if she cooks it and I got to go get it, I don't feel that loved. I'm just being really honest, right? You know, because I realize it's acts of service. So if she does it and she sets it right in front of me, I really don't care what it is, but just the act of itself, for some things, I just feel, wow, you really love me. You know, and, you know, some kind of wire in my head. I actually don't know exactly why that's the case, you know, but I feel really loved in those situations. In the same way, I can really express my love toward my wife, you know, and actually Elise in the same way. You know, one thing I really enjoy doing, which may sound really weird, but I really enjoy doing laundry. Right, my mom taught me how to fold clothes, and I'm like a Nazi when it comes to folding clothes, you know. And so when Lisa and I, when we got married, you know, she, you know, folded my T-shirts, and it wasn't exactly the way that I wanted it. I undid it, right, and I'm sure she was hurt a little bit, but I just took over the laundry chores, you know. And so that's what I do, and I really enjoy doing it. Now, you know, we've got a baby, and so I've been really enjoying washing Elisa's clothes. Right, you know, like socks are about this big, and, you know, shirts, you know, that, I mean, just really cute, and just folding it. And one of the, I could remember that, you know, a few times when I'm folding and I put it all away and things, and I could hear Lisa playing with the baby, and she's saying, "Oh, look, what a good daddy, sweetie," right? "Look, daddy's folding your clothes. Oh, daddy loves you so much," you know, and I feel, wow, I feel really loved. You know, and that's where, like, an act of service, right, is reciprocated by a word of affirmation. You know, do you see how, like, the love just keeps flowing? You know what I mean? Like you something is done, you do something, and then the response, and then you want to respond more, and back and forth. And this is, you know, like Chapman in his book, what he calls a full love tank, right? The tank of love, or, you know, or kind of this this atmosphere inside of us where we feel really loved becomes full. You know, as we begin to serve each other in that way, and as we really begin to give ourselves to that. Now, you have to recognize an important aspect of acts of service is that attitude is everything, right? Attitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, good looking. Attitude is everything," right? If it's not done, what I call a positive spirit or the right attitude, if it's not done with that attitude, it is not an expression of love. Have you ever seen, like, a situation comedy, you know, where, you know, like you know, you guys have probably seen Everybody Loves Raymond, right? You know, and the mother is upset with the father, right? And so she has to cook a meal, you know, and stuff, and she just throws it on the table. "Here, eat it," right? It's an act of service, but it's not done with the right attitude. And as a result of that, it's not an expression of love, right? And so we're not just talking about the doing of it. You know, we're not just talking about an act is done, but the act must be done lovingly, right? You know, have you heard, people that have been like married for a long time and the mother and the wife gets very bitter later on in their time. And, I cooked and cleaned for you for 20 years. You know, I did this for you for 20 years. And I ironed all your shirts and I did this and I did all that. And yet there's so much resentment. Yes, that person did all those things, but because it wasn't done with that right attitude or that loving way to the person receiving that, it was not an act of service. Right, it was just bitterness or resentment or anger or done out of fear or guilt or something like this. And we have to recognize that an act of service is not just the act in itself, but it's the attitude that goes about it. Right? I mean, how many of you have been asked by your parents to take the trash out? All right, this is very common. I don't know, maybe it's more American. Well, we have trash in Hong Kong too, right? So you got to take the trash out here too. You know, and, the mom tells you or the dad tells you to take the trash out and you keep procrastinating and then they got to yell at you, and then you eventually take it out and then it's like you're quite upset doing it, right? That's not an act of service. But an act of service would be that your mom tells you to take a trash out or you just do it without even that person asking and you take it out with joy because, it's pleasing someone. I can clean around the house, a little side note, I'm a little bit of a neat freak, okay? And so that's where I'm not a great guy like you think I am, right? I'm kind of a neat freak. And so that's why I'm kind of, in the cleanliness and things. But I can clean the house. I can do the laundry. I can do all these things. And I really enjoy doing that. But a part of that is because, I know that my wife will appreciate that. I know that will give Lisa more time to be with the baby, or more time to rest or sleep or something like this. And I recognize that I grew up doing this because when I was really little, I was really thinking about this a lot this week. When I was really little, my mom was sick a lot. She was probably in bed about three days of the whole week. She had a really low white blood cell count. And so when I was a little boy, I was so sad that my mom was always sick. I'm talking like in bed, can't even get up sick. Imagine growing up 3 days out of the week, my mom was like that. And so growing up, what I would do is I would wash the dishes, and my mom would tell me, I wouldn't hardly remember this, but I used to take a chair and pull it up because, I was a short little kid, right? And pull it up and I'd wash dishes and I'd clean the house. And as a little kid, I'd even vacuum the house. I knew that my mom was sick and I wanted to do something for her. I couldn't do anything else. And I kind of learned that way, that this is how I can love someone. And so obviously this is my love language back to other people as well, is act of service. And it could be many different reasons why we are wired this way, but a lot of it probably has to do with your upbringing, right? We can talk about that in a whole nother way. All right, but going back in this whole idea of this act of service, right? It must be done with the right attitude, right? To really express love, right? There must be a positive spirit, right? A positive spirit or the right attitude. Love is always freely given. You have to remember that love is always freely given. It cannot be demanded, right? We can request things of each other, but we must never demand anything. Right? And I'll give you a good, this is what Chapman says, a really good quote. It says, "Requests give direction to love, but demands stop the flow of love." Right? Requests give direction to love, but demands stop the flow of love. Right? And so love, because love is always freely given. Love is a choice. Right? It can never be coerced. A lot of people, unfortunately, in marriage relationships, their love tanks become empty, a lot of the interaction in the home is very coerced. If you don't take out the trash, I'm not going to have sex with you. This kind of idea. Or if you don't do that, man, you're going to really get it. You know what I mean? That's coerced. That's not love. That's a demand, that comes. It's just manipulation. And it's not love. And so we have to recognize that these acts of service, and I mean, this list of what exactly it is, it just goes on and on. It's a very long list of what you can do. And I bet if we even sat here for about 5 minutes and just thought about how I could love someone by serving them, I mean, we'd have an incredible list. But always finding out, well, what pleases that person? You know, what is it that would really minister, really touch that person, you know, in a way of service? And then you do that, and you focus yourself, you get your resources together, you set time, you make the effort to do that. And when it's done with the right attitude, it just oozes with love. You know what I mean? I mean, when that's, you know, something like that is really cared for and taken care of and done in that way, it's just so loving to that person that's receiving it. And that's what we really want. You know, this is what we're really after. You know, we want to be able to love other people, you know, and not to say that we want to love them strategically, but we do in some ways. We want to know what exactly is it, right, that the other person loves, and how can I express that love to them in a language that they can understand? That's what we're talking about, right? Love is a choice. Love is work. You know, love doesn't demand, but love can make requests sometimes to give direction. You know, and this is what we're trying to find out, every single one of us, is how can I love? You know, and if your focus is your dad, how can I love my dad? You know, he's unlovable to me at times, but how can I really love my dad? You know, and if you were in a counseling session with me and you asked me that question, all I would simply say is, well, what is your dad like? I mean, it'd be really simple. Well, what is your dad like? You know, he likes this, he likes that, he likes, well, why don't you do it? You know, or why don't you, you know, live your life in such a way that it makes it easy for your dad to do this? You know, let's say your dad loves to hunt, right? He just loves hunting, you know, and so depending on what your father's love language is, you know, if it's quality time, go hunting with him. You know what I mean? You know, if it's receiving gifts, buy him a shotgun, you know, or some bullets, or I don't know, you know, one of those, you know, duck hunting things, you know, get him something, you know, that relates to what he likes. If it's quality, or I already did that one, right? If it's words of affirmation, right? Tell him what a great hunter he is. Or, you know, just kind of just butter him up, you know, in that way. You know, let's say he brings home a deer or something. Wow, that's a great deer, Dad. You did a great job shooting this deer, you know? Or, I know we don't go hunting here in Hong Kong, but, you know, it's just an illustration, right? You know, or it could be something in along that way. You know, if it's acts of service, clean out his gun. You know what I mean? Or clean his clothes, or, you know, like, do, yeah, something along that way, you know? I should have picked a better topic than hunting, sorry, right? But that's what we find out, you know? If it's your mom, find out what she likes. You know, what is it that she really loves, and how can you really express that love to them? You know, for many of us growing up in Asian families, you know, one of the ways that, you know, that people have traditionally expressed love to their parents is by giving them a massage. You know, I don't know how many times my dad came home, you know, tired from work, and, you know, and if one of us came and just massaged his feet or something, you know, he just loved it. You know, or came around and just kind of massaged his neck and his back, and, you know, this, you know, like a massage is kind of a universal, you know, good gesture. You know what I mean? Like, I hardly know anyone that really doesn't like a massage, right? I mean, there are a few people out there, but especially your parents. You know, if you're trying to find out how can I love my girlfriend or boyfriend better, you know, find out what they like. You know, if it's your colleague, your friend, I mean, you could add, you know, put anyone in this object of affection, find out what they like. And if it's acts of service, serve them, right? Go out of your way, right? And really give yourself in these acts and serve, right? But you got to find out what they like first, right? And just really give yourself to that. And when you do that, it could just be a simple thing, right? You know, but it speaks volumes to the person that's receiving it. I mean, that's what we're really getting to. You know, some things we do is very easy. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort. It's not a huge, you know, production. But when we do those things, it says so much love to that person who's receiving it. And that's what we're after, right? That's what we're really going for. That's what we really want, right? That's the whole purpose of when Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right, and that's what we're getting to. In fact, when you really think about it more, right, Jesus gave us the perfect example, simple yet profound example of expressing love by an act of service. Turn to John chapter 13. Hey, can you turn the air on up here or something? It's really hot up here. Are you guys hot in here? It's just up here. Can you just turn it on? There's a remote right on the floor there. There's a remote right there. Make sure it's on cool, okay? Thanks. All right, John 13. Let's read from verse 3. Actually, let's go to verse 4. John 13, verse 4. And rose from supper, this is Jesus, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. And if I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Neither is one who is sent greater than one who sent him. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And so Jesus gives this just incredible picture of what it means to express love by serving. You know, if you have been coming to Bible study, because we actually just did a John 13, this passage, probably about 2 weeks ago, you know, and actually in Bible study, we had people, we split up in groups, and I had people that, you know, asked one person in the group to be Jesus, and that person actually went and washed the people's feet, you know, that were in that group, and, you know, some of the feedback was just fantastic of how people felt loved and humbled and all these things. So here Jesus does, and he comes to this place, you know, and he takes his outer garment off, you know, and this was in a lot of ways a sign of that you were a slave, you know, because slaves wore just their tunic and, you know, masters or people that weren't slaves wore an outer garment. And so Jesus strips himself of the outer garment and he identifies himself as a slave. He gets on his knees, right? He gets into a low position and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. You know, and then Peter says, you know, oh, you want to wash my hands and my feet? Well, you know, if you understand the context, because this was a feast, it was basically a party, you know, a Passover. And so if they're coming to the feast, they've already bathed. You know, like, I'm sure that if you go to a party, you shower before you go, right? I hope you do. You know, and so it would be the same situation with these guys. You know, they would clean themselves. And so from the journey from home to where the banquet was, right, the only thing that would be dirty would be their feet. And so that's what Jesus is alluding to here. You know, you've already bathed, and so I just need to wash your feet. And so Jesus gives us this really particular example, right, of doing something kind of lowly, you know, that even in the Jewish structure, Jewish society would find very lowly, but he does it as an expression of love. And he says, and as I serve you, you go out and you serve others in that same way. And so we recognize, you know, this whole idea of acts of service is so much more than a love language. This is a call, right, of Christ to every single one of our lives. This is what Jesus calls every single one of us to. You know, and I say this, you know, with all my heart. I believe that as Christians, you know, we should excel in acts of service. You know, this should be something that we are just fantastic at. You know, that this is something that we just major in, because this is the call of Christ in our own lives. You know, if you can't serve your secretary, you got a big problem. Right? If you can't serve, you know, I know like some in Asian settings, you know, someone that's younger than you, you have a huge problem. You know, there's something wrong with you in a lot of ways. You know, we can call it pride. We can call it, you know, such high self-importance or, you know, or too much entitlement or, you know, we're going to have all these names. But ultimately, you're not being like Jesus. You know, you're not being a servant. You know, and he continues on, and he tells him in Galatians 5, he says, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. You know, Jesus goes and he washes his disciples' feet. You know, the person that's a host, you know, or a person that's elevated, you know, in the Jewish custom would never wash someone else's feet. That was only the job of the servant, only the job of the slave. You know, I mean, it would just be ridiculous to do something like this. Yet Jesus breaks all norms of his day and he serves, right, his disciples. He serves these knuckleheads, you know, that are eventually going to run away from him. You know, and just scatter all about. And even one is going to betray him. And another one is going to curse in front of a little servant girl. And saying, I don't even know who this guy is. And yet he comes and he serves these guys. You know, and he expresses his love to them in that way. As he serves, right? Acts of service. Right? Find out what it is. What is it? Right? That would please, you know, whoever person that you're thinking about. You know, the person that you want to try to love more. What exactly, what can I do that would really please this person? You know, a lot of times it's very little things. You know, I mean, you know, most things in life are really little things. Right? That's why Jesus says, if you're faithful in a little thing, I will entrust you with much. Right? It's just one of these principles that we need to live by. You know, and it could be these little things. You find out what it is they like and you serve them. Right? You give yourself to them with the right attitude. In a loving way, you know, because, you know, if when you're really in love, it's very, very easy to do that. You know what I mean? It's very easy to serve someone. It's difficult to serve someone when you don't love them that much, you know. But you know how you can build that is you ask God to help you. I mean, there's really not much other recourse than that. You ask God to help you. You ask God to change your heart, you know, and then you begin to look for ways, right, that would really please them. And then you give yourself to that. Amen. Acts of service. Let's close our eyes. I want you to spend a little time today, this time, to really pray about something. Is there someone in your life that you would like to express love to? It could be many people, and so many people, that's fine too. But I just want to really think about this very intentionally. Now, I want you to put feet to the vision. So what can you do? Lord, what can I do as an act of service that would really say to this person, you are loved? Could be your dad. Could be your husband or wife. Incidentally, if you're married, it better be your husband and wife, okay? That should at least be the top of the list there. And then really intentionally think, what can I do? Because we're talking about acts of service here. So just think in terms of service. Obviously, you can do gifts and you can do that, but we're talking about service here. What can I do that would really please this person and that would really express to that person that they are loved? And if you're having difficulty, ask God to help you. You know, God will never ask us to do something that He will not enable us to do. That is a spiritual principle that you need to have deep inside your heart. Right? God will never ask you to do something that He will not enable you to do. Now, if He asks us to love one another, He will enable us to do that as well. And so He has the strategy, He has the ideas, He has the strength, and He will also provide opportunity. All we need to do is obey. And once you have that, once you felt God speak to you or you just get a sense of something, I want you to turn it into a prayer. You can say, Lord, help me to love my Father in this way. Give me opportunity to do this and, you know, whatever. God, let's just spend a little time in prayer and reflection to God. All right, let's just pray before Jesus. Just keep asking God for ideas. You know, one of the things that I've been blessed here at church, right, because acts of service is my love language, you know, I hardly know anything about computers. Right? But we have a few guys here at church, you know, Tom, Ken, and Matt that are quite proficient. And they've been really serving our family by fixing our computers, by, you know, doing all kinds of things. You know, and every time I do that, I feel very loved by them. And it can be very little things. Try to find what it is. And then give yourself. Let's just keep praying. Ask the worship team to come up. Just going to play a little bit of music for us. Let's really sincerely go before the Lord. Let's really seek Him. Lord, how can I love better? Or how can I really love so-and-so? Thank you, Jesus. Something pleasing for you. Let's just worship the Lord. go across the aisle? Won't we pray for each other, huh? Pray for the person on the right and left of you. Let's pray that this week they would find opportunities to express love by an act of service in some way. That the people around that person on the left and right of you, they would know that they're loved by that person as well as by the Lord. So let's just lift each other up right now. Thank you, God, as you are teaching us, Lord, how exactly, God, we ought to love our neighbor, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would give us opportunity, God. You'd give us insight, strategy, Lord, and the strength, Father God, Lord, to simply serve one another. But I pray that you would release upon us, God, the Spirit of Christ. Lord, let it reside deep within us, Lord, that we would not see anything as menial or anything as below us, God. But even you were able to, Lord, bathe, Father God, smelly Jewish feet. Or how much more can we serve one another, Jesus? And so would you come, God, and would you use us? Would you speak to us, God? And would you help us, Lord, to love people around us, Lord, especially the ones, God, that are close to us, Lord, but yet so difficult to love. Lord, we ask for your mercy. Bless us, God. Lord, watch over this church this week, Father, as we seek to bless you first and foremost. And as we enter into the week of Passion, Lord, I pray, God, simply, Lord, that you would break our hearts. Lord Jesus, come and break our hearts, God. Lord, let us step into the holy, God. Lord, bring a sense of the holy, the sense of the divine, God, in the midst of our lives this week, Lord. Let it not just be a holiday, it's not just vacation days, God, but it's a time to really draw near. It's a time, God, Lord, to really meet with you, Jesus. So help us this week, God. We bless you. We thank you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Amen. Once you hug the person next to you, think, thanks for praying for me. Have a great week this week. If you want to play volleyball, 8 o'clock tonight, let me serve you by coaching you tonight. God bless.